Welcome to Area Matters, news and comment from a white racialist viewpoint. This is James Hawthorne, and in the studio with me once again is the omnipresent Lee Gardner.
How are you doing, James?
I'm doing very well, Lee. How's everything been since we did the program last time?
Oh, just dandy.
Have anything in the news grabbed your attention?
There is so much going on in the world right now. It's overwhelming.
It is quite overwhelming, and it all revolves around Israel and Jews for the most part.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Will they invade Iran? Will they bomb Iran? Are the Israelis on an ethnically cleansing Jenin and other parts of Occupy Palestine?
Right, and Jimmy Carter's not happy about it, and now Ernst Zundel's going to jail, and they're all over the place, aren't they?
Yeah, did you hear that thing about Jimmy Carter? He's the most hated, and they call him an anti-Semite for writing that book.
That's a joke. You know, he ought to take that as a badge of honor because anti-Semite means anybody the Jews don't like. It doesn't mean someone that doesn't like the Jews. And so if they don't like him for sticking up for the Palestinians, that's great.
We have a little bit of in-house information for everybody. We've just started our very own news blog. It's at ArianAwakening@blogspot.com, which is part of the Arian Masses Network now. So if you wish, we'll eventually have a link on our main page of ArianMasses.com. If you wish, if you have any stories, all you have to do is send us a link of the story and your initial and a brief comment about the news story. If you wish, you can always send that to our email address at askaneonazi@yahoo.com. From that point, Lee, I'm going to go right into my first story on the program from the Daily Mail in London. Wave of hatred warnings as attacks on Jews hit record high, believe it or not. Attacks on Britain's Jews have risen to the highest levels since records began. A study published on January the 2nd shows the number of reported anti-Semitic incidents have almost tripled in 10 years, with more than half of the attacks last year taking place in London. The findings prompted the report authors to warn of a wave of hatred against Jews. The number of incidents increased to 594 last year, by 31% on the previous year. Violent assaults to 112, up more than a third in 2005. And the anti-Semitic incidents report 206 was compiled by the Community Security Trust. Now, for people who don't know who the CST is in Great Britain, the CST is the Jewish Security Service. These people secure all the synagogues. They secure Jewish meetings, so they're basically the Jewish arm security of Jewry in the United Kingdom. It goes on, the threatened suspension of Ken Livingstone as mayor for comments made to a Jewish Evening Standard reporter triggered 11 anti-Semitic incidents, according to the report. When the figures were first compiled in 1984, there were just 154 reported incidents, about a quarter of the total last year. Mark Gardner, CST spokesman, said of the level of hate crimes, quote, "This is unacceptable racism that many Jews had hoped and believed was a thing of the past. Today's anti-Semitism is a wave of hatred, intimidation and abuse against British Jews who are stupidly blamed and randomly attacked over international tensions for which they bear no responsibility." Wink, wink, there, Mark. And it goes on, it gives you a so-called reported report against Jews. One, an Orthodox Jew punched in the face and almost pushed off a tube platform by an Arab man who screamed, "Get back to Stamford Hill, I want to kill you all." A Jewish man walking to a synagogue with two young sons suffered a broken leg after being punched and kicked by a white man shouting, "Fucking Jew!" and these go on. I mean, a so-called savage assault of a 12-year-old Jewish girl by Jasmine Kranat who was beaten unconscious on a London bus by two teenage girls who asked her first if she was Jewish. Jews have a tendency to overreact to individual cases of violence against them. And all this is rolled into some sort of report which casts a really sorrow light on the Jewish people in Great Britain. And what I've found through the years of studying the Jews and their influence throughout our societies is, from time to time, they will push these reports out. And obviously this report, as I said before, comes from the Community Security Trust, which is the security arm of Jewry in Great Britain, to gather money. This is a money-gathering operation. A wave of hatred against Jews. So this appeared in the Daily Mail, one of London's premier tabloids. And probably fellow Jews and fellow Shabbos Goy will be opening up their wallets to these people and sending them some much-needed cash, no doubt. What's your comment on that, Lee?
Yeah, or either that or we're going to have new programs about the Holocaust in school and on the television, because obviously people don't know where this anti-Semitic hatred and these little attacks lead to, right? They lead to these mythical gas chambers. So it's now, you're right about it's a money-making ploy, because if you really look at the history of Jews, they're always... Their leaders, their elite, are always doing one of two things. Either they're trying to get money or they're trying to get power. One or the other. And of course, the average Jew is always trying to get money and trying to be as lazy as possible. There's several ways you can look at it. And one is that the Jews, like you said, the Jews emphasize these kind of small attacks, or in small in number anyway, in frequency. Mm-hmm. And how they do that, and the Shabbos Goy that play along with them, is putting it on the media. And, of course, millions and millions of people that watch BBC and everything else and read the papers that they own and hear these stories start to think, well, it's a pandemic, anti-Semitic, which, of course, that's the wrong word anyway. It's anti-Jewish sentiment. But they start to get the impression that it's a pandemic, which is what the Jews want, right? Oh, the poor Jews, look, they're being persecuted again. There's three ways to look at it, and from the way I look at it. One is are the Jews making a big deal out of it, and are Jews actually involved in it, and are the stories even true, right, as part of this? Because we know Jews like to do hoaxes. Yeah. They like to hoax, quote-unquote, hate crimes. So that's one way to look at it. The second way to look at it is, are white people, like they mentioned, there's one guy there who said fucking Jew in a store. Are white people actually starting to wake up and realize that the Jews are the problem that they are? That's another way to look at it. Is that really happening? It's hard to know. And the third way to look at it is it a bunch of fucking Arabs and Muslims in our countries, right? So then it's all of a sudden they can write a story, even though, again, you mentioned that, you know, there was a person that was identified as an Arab in the story that was doing the so-called hate crime. Well, they could blanketly say, or just generally say, oh, hate crimes are on the rise by 500%, and not even mention that 99% of those hate crimes are committed by Arabs and fucking Muslims inside our countries.
Yep.
So, because the white people just won't do it because they're so, you know, dumbed down, brainwashed, demoralized, and think that Jews are God's chosen pets. You got to be kidding if you think all of a sudden the majority of white Europeans are going to become... or start committing anti-Semitic so-called hate crimes.
There was an interesting study which ties into this nicely from the Council for the National Interest, and it was a new poll that was just commissioned in the United States. 40% of Americans see the Israel lobby as a key factor as the key Iraq war factor. That's a great, if that study pans out to be, truthful study, 40% of Americans see the Israel lobby as a problem.
I saw that too.
That means the word's getting out there.
Well, I have a natural instinctive skepticism of any surveys or polls. that's probably because I was involved in a poll taking actual doing scientific data collection of a poll when I was younger, and mm-hmm. I saw how screwed up that was, and I saw how unreliable that was. I mean, there was a group of us in teams, and I can tell you that the only one out of about seven teams that went out to do the study and collect this data, only one of them, which was me and another guy, actually tried to do it honestly and truthfully. The other six teams, we saw them, and they were just joking about it, how they actually had filled in numbers themselves, you know, instead of actually doing the hard work of actually going around and talking to people. So I just have this experience and naturally skeptical about that kind of stuff, because at the same time, it could be a poll or a statistic to, like what you were saying, to gain money or to get something to, like, scare people into saying, well, we got to put a stop to it. You know, you never know what angles people might be playing with those things.
Hitler said in Mein Kampf, Jew is the main proponent of the big lie. I would urge everyone to read Mein Kampf, and that's what Adolf Hitler said, even though the Jews turned that totally around and were blaming Adolf Hitler for the big lie. It wasn't Adolf Hitler with the big lie, it was the Jew. The Jew is the, as Hitler said in Mein Kampf, is a proponent of the big lie. The bigger the lie, the more people will believe it.
Absolutely.
They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of snakes is under their lips. Their mouths are full of bitterness and curses. And in their paths, nothing but ruin and misery. And the fear of God is not before their eyes. They have taken the hearts and minds of our leaders. They have recruited the rich and the powerful. And they have blinded us to the truth. Our human spirit is corrupted. Why do we worship greed? Because outside the limit of our sight, feeding off us, perched on top of us from birth to death, are our owners. Our owners, they have us, they control us, they are our masters. Wake up, they're all about you, all around you.
And this story also ties into the organization that's infesting the body politic in the United States, the Anti-Defamation League. They've just brought out a report saying that the Ku Klux Klan are riding a wave of anti-immigration feeling in the United States and are growing in leaps and bounds. Once again, you know, the ADL, the great purveyor of fundraising, how true is that report?
Yeah, just like in the protocols of the Elders of Zion, where it says that the elite Jews will use anti-Semitism to keep the other Jews in line. And what that means is that they scare other Jews into thinking they have some enemy or some problem that they have to all band together against. You know, so they're constantly, even though they might have a natural instinct of the solidarity to stay together and work as a group, you know, and mm-hmm. do what's good for Jews, they're constantly being scared and threatened into conforming themselves. Most of them can't even interpret that they are being told something like this, which who knows if it's true or not that the KKK is on the rise. I hope it is. Mm-hmm. I knew some people before that were in the KKK, and it was funny because they didn't mention it until, you know, I got to know them. And they are an invisible army. They still exist out there, but you know, as to how much they're growing or how big they are, you know, who knows? And it's probably just another ploy.
As I say, I hope this this wave of anti-Jewish feeling is growing. I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping people are online through the internet and reading about the Jew and his evil ways and how he is trying to miscegenate our people into utter oblivion, basically trying to exterminate the Aryan race. And if people are getting the message through the internet, and not, I'm seeing these reports, I know you don't hold these reports to be really a really true guide, but I think the only true guide is if and when we have pogroms popping up
yeah.
in Aryan lands.
Yeah, and I think
That would probably be the true feeling.
Yeah. That would obviously indicate something is different. That's for sure. And, you know, I think that's not going to happen until more people start to speak out, which are people that are respected. And so maybe Jimmy Carter is, you know, one of the head guys. I mean, obviously, he is not a racist. He's a religious guy who believes in egalitarian, you know, the Marxist bullshit. So he's not a racist, and he's probably just a pacifist when it comes to Palestine. Like, you might be able to tell that from his behavior when United States citizens were taken hostage by Iran, that the way he responded was more of like a pacifist would also. So, again, but it would take more people like him coming out and saying, you know what, I don't give a shit if you call me anti-Semitic. I'm telling you, I don't like you Jews in Israel for what you're doing. And then people will start to listen, and the majority of people, the masses, will start to follow somebody. They need a leader.
I mean, people have seen the great Paul Finley, former congressman in the United States, McCloskey also. It's only when these people leave office is when they stand up against the Jew, because the power of the Jew in political life, it's frightening. We all know these politicians are gutless for the most part. But even when people leave office, and even then, only a few have stepped forward, like Finley, McCloskey, and now Jimmy Carter have stepped forward and said, you know, what the Jews doing is wrong. And they've been castigated. And they got this new report coming out by Stephen Walton and Mearsheimer on the Jewish lobby. Get ready for that thing when that hits the bookstores. I mean, the Jews are going to go absolutely crazy on that one. When that book comes out, I'm quite surprised that book's been allowed to be published.
Well, we'll see how much media coverage it gets, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing, is they can completely squelch something if they wanted to, and you won't hear about it. It's like, how many people actually know what Paul Finley and Pete McCloskey and these other guys, these congressmen, how many even heard of them? Mm. And that they said something against Jews? Very few people have. Actually, I've almost never met anybody who's in, you know, still in the regular brainwashed American, or Americoan, I guess. Mm-hmm. I've never met one that knew. You know, I even found that, you know, most of them never heard of the Liberty, USS Liberty, the attack on the USS Liberty, and many other things like that. So that Carter is getting more publicity is good. Does anybody else come up and say, also, by the way, you know, Finley said this a long time ago? No, they don't. You don't hear that, because all you hear is them saying how bad Jimmy Carter is, how anti-Semitic he is. So
he's just gone from, you know, president to former president to anti-Semite.
Right. Right. It doesn't matter. See, this ought to demonstrate to people. It does not matter how nice you are to the Jews or how you try to play their game. If you read his book, I'm sure in there he does not say anything like we say and say these fucking kikes and yids, and, you know, I'm sure he does not do that at all. I'm sure he was the polite, you know, southern gentleman type, and they still don't care. They still call him an anti-Semite, you know, a fascist, a Christian extremist, and you know, all kind of things. Because that's the way they do. That's the way they. That's their mode of operation, is to smear anybody who threatens their power.
You made a good point there, and I was reading a report just recently that even Jimmy Carter has been utterly horrified how the Jews have turned on him.
I've got one that can see.
Yeah.
He's been utterly horrified. He's been shocked how the Jew will turn his gun on, you know, a former. Carter, for the most part, when Carter was president, Carter was archetypal Chavez guy. He played the Jewish tune in office. Everyone know he did. Now he comes out and puts his true thoughts in a book, and the Jew turns his gun on him. And then he turns around and is shocked. He probably is shocked because he probably doesn't truly realize the power that this 3% of the population in the United States has.
That is honest that he's surprised. And, of course, he's surprised because he's ignorant. Mm. He's like the average American who's ignorant about why the Germans did something about the Jews, right? They're totally unaware. And then when that happens, they're like, oh, I thought these were the defenders of freedom. I thought these Jews were the defenders of free speech and, you know, justice. And all of a sudden, they're trying to shut them up. And, yeah, that surprises him, and that's because he's ignorant.
You're allowed free speech so long as you don't attack the Jew.
That's right.
That's quite correct. And your story, Lee?
My first story blends right it perfectly into this topic about the Jews and the freedom of speech and Jimmy Carter and all that, because it is about the Big Easy. And, of course, I'm not talking about New Orleans. I'm talking about Ernst Zundel, who has been sentenced to 5 years in Germany for Holocaust denial. Okay, and the story I've got here is from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation on the Internet. And it says this. It says, a German court on Thursday convicted Ernst Zundel of 14 counts of incitement of racial hatred and sentenced him to 5 years in prison, the maximum allowed under German law for denying the Holocaust. The Canadian Jewish Congress said it is satisfied with the sentence, with Chief Executive Bernie Farber saying it sends a strong message around the world. Yeah, it sends a strong message around the world. It says, do not deny the Holocaust or we'll put your ass in jail. At least they will in Germany. And I don't know what the exact number is, but something like 14 other countries in Europe have laws now against denying the Holocaust, or you'll get a jail sentence. And the last part of the article here that I've got highlighted says that in the closing statement at his trial, Zundel continued to deny the killing of 6 million Jews, right? Which is good, because
he went down screaming. There was 6 million.
That's right. He went down fighting with, you know, he's got his boots on. He went down with his boots on. He's never given in to them. And I've heard him for all these years, all the things he said. He's never reneged on anything. I think that when, like, David Irving does that kind of stuff, he's just playing a game because he knows the truth too. And he'll say, oh, yeah, I don't believe it anymore, just so they'll let him out of jail, you know. But when he gets out, he does like he did when he got back, you know, to England last time, is he starts bitching about them, saying, you know, those guys are a bunch of jerks and for putting me in jail for what I don't believe. Now
I'm just saying that, yeah, you're quite true. I mean, he's been in prison for 3 years already. And then they're sticking with, which I predicted this, 5 years. You get 5 years, because that seems to be the norm in Germany for going against the constitution, which Holocaust denial apparently is. You get automatic 5 years. But yeah, he went down unashamedly saying he was correct and that history will prove him correct.
That's right.
He's a great patriot, and people should seek out his address in prison in Germany, send him money for his needs over the next 5 years, send him letters, send him
cards.
Make these people know that he is not on his own here, that he has a large swathe of people who still support this great patriot.
Yes, we recommend everybody write him a letter. You don't have to send him a donation, but at least write him a letter or a postcard as often as you can. Flood those guys over there, flood the jail system with letters of support for him. Now, this goes back, this whole thing here with Zundel's situation goes back to how do you know who's in charge of any country or government? And the simple answer is it's those people you can't criticize.
Yep.
Right? And being that the Holocaust, which you can't deny, is solely a Jewish experience as far as we're concerned, because the media and the schools and the government portrays it as such, then this means you can't criticize the Holocaust, which means you can't criticize the Jews. And it shows that the Jews are the people in power. That's all this demonstrates. It is that simple. And for people not to understand that and to call us, you know, conspiracy theorists and all this kind of shit is very ignorant of the way things really are.
I would like to just mention that maybe many, many years ago there was a Jewish conspiracy, but let me tell you right now, there's no Jewish conspiracy. It's out right front and center. They control international finance, the banking system. They control our media, our means of communication. They control our politicians. Our politicians are scared to death to go against the Jew or to vote against the Jew. It's up front and center. The Jews are in control. 3% in the United States, the greatest, most powerful nation the planet has ever seen, with the weaponry to destroy this planet 20 times over. The Jew, 3% of the population of the United States, are running the United States by proxy.
And not just the United States, and Germany too.
Well,
right?
Europe,
Europe, most of the countries there.
UK, yeah.
Yeah, because thanks to thanks to our dumbasses in America and other countries, actually America didn't have that much to do with it, except it could have been helping Germany and not supporting the Soviet Union. Thanks to our support in World War II, this is how things have gotten fucked up. We let the Jews take over.
Yeah.
And, you know, this system, I mean, basically we like to say the United States or America, somebody had come up with that it's Zionist-occupied government. You could say it's Jewish-occupied government, the same as in the UK, it's Jewish-occupied government, the same with Germany. This is not democratic Germany run by Germans that is doing this, right? It's basically that Germany and other countries have been Sovietized, right? They've been Judeo-Bolshevized. It's a Bolshevik kind of a system now. Because if you look back in history, for example, what happened in the Ukraine when the communists took over, Jewish Bolsheviks went in there and they rounded up all the intellectuals, doctors, professors, engineers, teachers, lawyers, all those people, and they said they were guilty of being what? Being anti-communist, going against the ideology. And then they put them to death, or they sent them to slave labor camps, or they put them in jail. They did all those things without any proof at all. And here with Zundel, it's the same thing, isn't it? They're saying he's guilty of going against their ideology, which is actually the Holocaust story. He's actually, you know, a new religion now, so it's like he's a modern day heretic against their beliefs. But it's the same thing where they don't have to prove anything. They can just say, you do not believe what we want you to believe, so you have an opinion that we don't like, so now you're going into the gulag. It's the exact same thing.
Modern heretics, just like when they banned the witches in those ancient times, in Zundel, a modern witch with the Jew. I mean, cross the Jew, and at the moment, because we don't have the numbers of awakened people, the Jews allowed to get away is allowed to get away with this. That's the reason. Once again, we do these programs and we bring more media to the plate, to the Aryan plate, our new blog. We have to get the word out. We have to inform our people what's going on. This is not some fallacy, some ghost in the machine. This the Jew front and center, and they're controlling our politicians, our nations, and they are intent on exterminating the Aryan race.
That's right. And again, the whole Zundel thing is an example of Jewish power. If you think about it, what you learn in school is you learn that in history, the worst kind of tyrannies and dictators are those who always silence all opposition. Right? So the ability to silence all opposition is like the definition of absolute power and control. And that's a tyranny. So here we got this example with Ernst Zundel in a supposedly democratic Germany, right? He is being silenced. And who is wielding that power? What is it directed at? It was directed at the Jews and the Holocaust. So that is the definition of a tyranny. See, I don't like it when people get things mixed up with saying that a tyranny is synonymous with dictatorship, or dictatorship is synonymous with a tyranny. It's not. You can have a tyranny if you have a so-called democracy, right? Because we've got that all the fuck around in all of our European countries, right? Doesn't matter. They call themselves parliaments, you know, republican or republics, forms of government. Doesn't matter that they call themselves that. They are still tyrannical. And the same is true if you go back and say, okay, if dictatorships are so tyrannical, we had all of these monarchies in the past, right? All these monarchies, all these Roman Caesars, you know, all of these things that someone would say they were all dictators. And then you go back and say, well, were they all tyrannical? And the answer to that is no, the majority of them were not tyrannical. So again, that is a misnomer and a mistake to keep associating a dictatorship, which was a form of government that Hitler had put in place in Nazi Germany, to say that was tyrannical for the people just because he was a dictator. No, we have a tyranny right now in Germany, and there's no dictatorship. So I just want to make that perfectly clear, how we have been raised and brainwashed and programmed to think and respond and react to certain things in certain ways, like words, like dictators, like dictatorship, you know, and tyranny and all that. We associate those with things we've been programmed to, and it doesn't necessarily hold true, and especially for the masses of people out there who do not understand that to imprison somebody for their ideas, like Ernst Zundel, is wrong. You know, they will go along with it. The majority of people do agree with it, in America too.
There was a saying by a Jew, "I care not who makes your laws, so long as I control your money." They should turn that around and say something for the 21st century. "I care not who makes your laws, so long as we control your politicians."
That's right.
Because that's what's definitely happening, has happened, and is happening. The reason why I use the United States as a great analogy, because it's so open. The octopi of the Jew, his tentacles in the United States are so open. You can see it. You can see the cancer on the body politic, AIPAC, the American-Israel whatever it is, AIPAC.
And, Public Affairs Committee.
Public Affairs Committee. They control your politicians. If your politicians in Washington vote against any anti-Jewish policy, anti-Israel policy, those politicians are absolutely terrified to go against that in case they get, because AIPAC and their powerful millions will be pumped into the person who will be up against you if you vote against Israel or any anti-Jewish policies that are put forward on the House or in the Senate. Terrified, that's control. That's what you just said there, Lee, tyranny in action.
It absolutely is. They are afraid. That's how you know when you live under a tyranny, when you're afraid of your own government. And what's happened is our people in that government, they're afraid of a group of people, right? And they're the fucking Jews, right? That's who they're afraid of. So that, again, that shows they're under a tyranny just as much as the rest of us are, you know, as under our government.
It's absolutely frightening, and people should truly understand, people who are new to this, that we're hoping to reach through these broadcasts, people who are new, people that we need to become awake, read the books, read everything you can online about the evil manifestation of the Jew against the Aryan people. This goes on. This is not just happening right now. You can look through, and thanks to the great internet, you can go through history, look at the reason why the Jews were kicked out of England. That's a great primer for everybody. The Jewish expulsion in 1290 of the Jew from Great Britain, from England. Look at the expulsion of the Jew from Spain. Look at all these expulsions, and they all have one thing in common. The Jew is screwing you.
That is right. And, you know, you said something good there when you said the evil, when you call them evil. See, I'm not religious. I don't believe, you know, I don't believe in the concept of evil. And I wouldn't have, 10 or 12 years ago, I wouldn't have said any race could have been evil, but the Jews are. And I'll explain that in a kind of a strange way, but this is the way I thought of it, is that the Negroes, with their low IQ, right, are stupid, and they commit a lot of crimes like robbery and things just because they're stupid, right? If they see something they want, they know this is the easiest way to get it is if I rob them. They don't think of, well, I don't do that because my IQ is high enough where I can go to school and I can get enough money to buy it or whatever. They don't think that way. So because they're so stupid, and of course the testosterone has part to do with that too, with their violent behavior, but mainly the IQ is a decision-making mechanism, the most important decision-making mechanism. And if we know that they're stupid, which we do, we're race realist and scientific realist, we understand that there's things such as genes and there's difference between the races. We understand all this. We know that blacks are stupid and they're going to do stupid things, and that's why they're committing all these crimes. And we can say, well, we understand this is why, because they're low IQ. But when it comes to the Jews, who probably have, from the evidence I've seen, at least Ashkenazi Jews, probably have a higher IQ on average than whites do, yet they not only behave behave as badly as blacks, they behave worse than blacks. That and that means if they have such a high IQ, that means they consciously know it. Now, isn't that a definition of evil? If they consciously know what they're doing to fuck us over is wrong, but they do it anyway? To me, that's evil. You know, you cannot describe it as any other way or make any excuses for them and say, well, you know, they're only doing it because they're stupid or because they were persecuted. Because even when they're no one's persecuting them, they become the great persecutors and the great mass murderers of history.
When I start talking about the Jew, evil just comes into my mind when I'm talking about them, because if you look through the centuries, through the eons of what these people have done to my people, to the white Aryan race through the centuries, there's only one word that can totally can totally tell what the people are. To me, it comes instinctively into my mind when I talk about these people. They are an evil race. They are a cancer on the body politic. They are a flea. They are a tick on life. They are just a nonsensical breed of filthy. I could go on.
And then it is not just the white people, right? Look at what they did with their slavery to white mm-hmm. people first, right? But they enslaved the Africans, right? Brought them over here, the majority, as is ample evidence of that, right? And then there's the Palestinians and other examples, you know, and they fucked over the Egyptians, you know, thousands of years ago. I mean, it's not just white people. And then if anybody out there says pornography is bad, well, who are the leading purveyors of pornography? Fucking kikes. So it's just so obvious and so that is a real pandemic. If anything's pandemic, it's Jewish behavior that can be called evil. That's
great book on that from the great Kevin MacDonald, Culture of Critique. I'd urge everyone to get a copy of that book. I'm going to go now on to my second story. Heinrich Himmler, I think, said this about this great country of this great race of people, the Nordics of Sweden. I think Himmler said that the Nordics of Sweden were the prime racial type which all Europe should aspire to. Sweden, the Nordic race of Sweden, has always been the anchor of European civilization. What do you do when you want to get rid of civilization in Europe? You go after the main country that is the anchor of Nordic white civilization in Europe, and that's Sweden. What we're seeing right now, everybody, is a systematic invasion of that great Nordic white land by the filthy lowlifes of this planet, and behind it, if you say in this program, you don't have to dig too deep to find who's behind it. J-E-W. Jew. And what's happening is, since the Jew-inspired Iraq war, Iraqis are leaving, nay, fleeing Iraq-worn, Jew-inspired systematic extermination of, you know, the Iraqi people. The Iraqis have said, enough of this, we're leaving. And have a guess where they're leaving to. They're leaving to Sweden in their droves.
Oh, my God.
This report was from the Swedish report that I came across online. Swedes flee as immigration soars. So the Nordics of Sweden are leaving Sweden in their droves. Record immigration to Sweden in 2006 as largest number of Swedes emigrate since 1892. Immigration to Sweden in 2006 reached its highest level since records began. At the same time, emigration also soared to a level not seen in 100 years. According to official figures published by Statistics in Sweden, Swedish citizenship was granted to more than ever before in 2006, a year in which the country's population increased by 65,505. The total population recorded on the 31st of December was 9,140,000. Immigration last year increased by 47% compared to 2005, reaching a total of 46 million. This constituted just over 12,000 more immigrants than the previous year of 94, when Sweden took in large numbers of refugees from the fleeing war. Sorry, the people, refugees fleeing from war in Yugoslavia. That's okay, because Yugoslavs, for the most part, are a Slavic race. Still white for the most part, don't have the racial, the pure Nordicness of the Swedish people. You could say that's a sort of a miscegenation, but them being white, it's not upping the race, it's probably downing the race a little bit with the Slavic gene. But last year's increase can primarily be explained by temporary asylum legislation, which gave asylum seekers the right to have their cases reassessed. The legislation covered the period from the 15th of November 2005 to the 31st of March. And this report goes on and on and on. Iraqis, Turks, this once great Nordic nation is being fingered, and it's being fingered by GEW for them to be absolutely annihilated and miscegenated to death. What do you think about that?
Everywhere they go, that's what the Jews do. They mask it in that the white population, the Aryans there, need to be more cosmopolitan. They need to be more broad-minded. They need to be more modern. And the only way to do that is to increase diversity. So once they can get their filthy fucking paws on the immigration rules and laws of a country, that's what they'll start to do. Is start importing these mud people, end up miscegenating us into death. First off, we're already not breeding enough, and we're not breeding enough in all of our white lands everywhere, mainly because of the Jewish lie of feminism, which tells all our best young women to say, your white men have been keeping you down all these years, and what you need to do is you need to go to college and have your own career. Mm-hmm. That's the main reason, plus abortion, are the two main reasons why, you know, the white population we're not repopulating enough to keep up with our birth rates over our death rates. That's the main reason. And then this doesn't help at all when non-whites and people who are going to clash with our civilization and our culture are allowed to come in.
It doesn't say in this report where the Swedes are fleeing to, but wherever they're fleeing to, instead of standing there and making the stand for Sweden, Swedes are just saying enough's enough, and they're hopping on the planes and going. But it doesn't say in this report where they're going to.
Well, you know what can they do? Because if they get up and say, we don't want you non-whites in here, what are they going to be accused of? They're racist, they're fascist, they're Nazis, yes. Right? And they can't do that because they're brainwashing to thinking they can't do that.
It's just sad. I mean, the Germans in the Third Reich, as I in my preamble to the story said, that Sweden is the ultimate epitome of the Aryan race.
Yeah, the Scandinavian countries definitely have the best breed of Europeans, with the tall, you know, lean features, light of skin, you know, blonde hair, of course, light, even almost white hair. You know, many cases, that's how blonde they are. And, of course, that's the last, if the Scandinavian countries are the last bastions of are the source of blonde hair people, well, obviously we got to put an end to that, right? We got to stop that right now. We don't need any more of these evil white devils running around causing all these problems, right? That's the media line. That's the politically correct thing to say, which is, of course, complete bullshit, because we know who's in charge and who's the most evil, and that white people are actually going extinct. Less than 10% of the world population, yeah, Aryans or white people, make up less than 10% and continue to fall.
It says in this report, just at the end of the report, it says, the last time a high number of people emigrated from Sweden was in 1892. 46,000 people packed their bags and left the country, as in 2005. And here's the bad news. The majority of those leaving were Swedish citizens, followed by Finns, Danes, and Norwegians. These are the prime stock of Europe.
Yep.
These are the people that built European civilization.
Yeah, and they had a lot of influence, definitely around places like England and Ireland, everywhere else with their Vikings and things like that. Mm-hmm. And of course, where it is a good question as to where are they immigrating to, because if they come over here, that's fine. They can mix with niggers and spicks,
you know.
Or if they go to Canada, that's great. They can mix with Asians.
I find it amazing the Aryan white people are packing their bags. Instead of confronting immigration and confronting this invasion and confronting this basic extermination of our people, they're not prepared to do that. They're prepared to pack their bags, prepared to sell their homes, they're prepared to jump on a plane and go somewhere else to avoid the problem. But you can't avoid the problem now, because this whole thing's happening in all our white lands are being targeted for extermination. So no matter where they go to try and find solace from this, they're not going to find solace from it, because it's happening everywhere. In the United States, white people are fleeing California, for example, beautiful temperate climate, beautiful beaches, mountains where you can ski. I mean, it's got everything. California has everything ever imagined. What's happening? The invasion by the mestizo into California. White people aren't fighting back. They're packing their bags and going inland into the desert. They're going inland into places like Montana, into the heartland of America, but they're not prepared to stand up and say that this immigration, which leads to miscegenation, which leads to the death of our people, they're so scared of the label racist that they're prepared to uproot their whole lifestyle and move.
That's right.
It just boggles my imagination.
It's exactly what you said. They're scared. It's fear. And when you're afraid, that means you're being repressed and you're being oppressed and you're under a tyranny. And they don't get that. They don't get that. They think that, well, I don't know what they think. I don't know what they think. I just see the same reaction as you are. They're fucking scared of being called a racist. And instead of standing up and fighting for their own people.
Yeah, I think that, that Jewish, and I call it a Jewish label, if they call you a racist, instead of saying, people like us who are, who've been involved in a struggle for many, many years, know about the Jewish labels, know how the Jews try to attack us, and are more able to stand against these labels that the Jew throws against us. Jew calls me a racist. If I'm on television and my opponent is a Jew or some Shabbos goy reporter, and they you were racist. I'm able, because I've been involved in the white struggle for many, many years, I can turn around and say, well, you can call me a racist. I prefer to be called a racialist, because I understand that there are differences amongst the races, and you can go into that preamble. But if you want to stick me with the label racist, I'm proud to be a frickin' racist, because it defends my people against the people who were trying to kill my people.
Right.
Now, once you can articulate that way to people, then it's you don't come across as crazy as as the Jewish media and the Jew kind of portray you.
Yeah, well, the way they've defined it, racist means that A, you have prejudice against people because of their skin color, mm-hmm. and B is you want to kill anybody who's not like you. That's the way they define it. When our definition, at least my definition of racist, is I am for my own people, and I will defend them. That has nothing to do with saying I'm going to kill anybody. You know, I'm not going to go out and start killing niggers or killing spics just because I'm a racist. That has nothing to do with anything. So, again, that's the way they define it. Now, one example recently, last month, about how these people think, was it that big deal they had about that one woman who was in that that reality show? You know what I'm talking about? Is it Big Brother? Where the Indian woman actually won? And this woman who was called... I don't know exactly who called her a racist, because she was bad-mouthing this Indian woman, you know, behind her back, saying she was this or that. Go ahead.
She come off with some off-the-cuff comment, and then she gets, like, lambasted.
Constantly. She was constantly lambasted in the media. But here's the thought process. What did she do? She cried her eyes out and screamed about, oh, I'm not a racist. Right? That was her reaction, was she cannot, for anything in the world, she would not allow herself to be called a racist. Because you know why? Because that's the worst thing in the world. That is what they've been programmed to believe. That is absolutely, I don't know what that program was about, or, you know, if she was telling the truth about whatever, you know, the Indian woman did. I don't know. But that's not the point. The point is that she's the typical... Her reaction was typical of the program reflex and the way whites have been brainwashed and programmed to think. And that is everybody in the media, even if they were Gentiles and not Jews, they all blasted her and said she's bad, or look, she's got to be a racist and all this stuff. And then her reaction was to cry and bawl and swear to God that she was not a racist. I mean, that's our general reaction.
It just goes back to, as you just said there quite eloquently, about the programming that's been going on through media owned by Jewish interests, using words like racist, anti-Semite,
Nazi,
yeah, fascist.
Fascist.
You can go on and on.
Hater. That's our
hater. Everything. If we're standing up for the survival of a people that built Aryan culture, white culture throughout the world, are sending men to the stars as we speak. The race of people, I mean, what we have invented, we could spend 3 hours talking about our people who made this earth the way it is. Great inventors, artists, artisans, culturists. We can go on and on and on. Jews use these labels to, as Commander Rockwell quite eloquently said, to shut you up. If you're a racist, it's evil. But if you turn around and say, no, I'm not going to accept these Jewish labels. And it annoys me when I see people who are in the struggle as we start using these labels. I call them Jewish labels because that's what they are, Jewish labels. I don't like to see nationalists, white nationalists, using these labels and thinking they're trying to be clever using these Jewish labels. That they think that they're trying to be very, very clever using these labels And I'm afraid they're not being very, very clever at all. They're being very, very stupid.
No, it's not the labels that's the problem. It's the definitions, right?
Oh, yeah, true.
That's, again, what they define as a Nazi or a National Socialist, what they define that as is someone who wants to shove Jews in the fucking gas chambers.
Yep.
That's all. That's what their definition is. And, you know, and there's no way that we are here are saying that you should not say that you're a Nazi or a National Socialist. If you want to say that, go right ahead. If you want to wear a uniform, go right ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, and march in the street. That's your prerogative. That scares the shit out of the Jews. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing they fear. Like Rockwell said, that's the worst thing they fear. Never in their life will they imagine that people will still wear Nazi uniforms with swastika armbands and march in the fucking streets.
The swastika has a terrific emotional effect. The name Nazi has a terrific emotional effect, not only on our people, but on the enemy. I wish that you people could be with me whenever I show up in full Nazi uniform amongst a bunch of Jews. I'm telling you, let me tell you one experience I had up in Boston on one of our first tickets of Exodus. I sat in a Terrain Hotel looking out a window from about 10 o'clock in the morning until 2 when I was to pick it. And for all those hours, for 4 hours, I watched 10,000 Jews, I mean 10,000, that was the report in the paper, filling up the street. And I watched them coming from everywhere. They had lead pipes and they were cracking them in their hand. One guy had a bailing hook and he was jabbing at everything with his bailing hook. They were waiting for me, and I'll admit I was scared to death. I had 4 guys with me, and they were all looking out the window, and one of my biggest guys, Roy James, was laying in the bed. He couldn't move. We were all paralyzed. It was horrifying. But I finally knew I had to go. By the way, I had about 50 guys who were supposed to come and join us, and some of them couldn't get there, and the other ones got jammed and struck and couldn't get through the Jew mob. So finally, I had to go alone, the only one in uniform. And I went out there in an overcoat over my uniform. And I walked into the middle of the Jews in the overcoat, and when I was in the right place, I took off the coat and held up my sign. And gentlemen and ladies, you should have seen the effect on those Jews. Now, these people, remember, were there to kill me. Plenty of them. The cops had told me that. When they saw me, absolute silence fell on them. It was just as though a lion had landed right down in the middle of the crowd, and they all just looked. And here I'm all alone, 10,000 Jews, and it took them about a minute. Before they could do it, they were paralyzed. And finally, one of them hollered, "It's Rockwell." And then, as I told the folks on the way over in the car, they couldn't even get started. They were so anxious to get me, they all fell all over each other. They got in each other's way trying to kill me, and I was able to survive until the Irish cops got in there and nearly killed the Jews getting me out. And by the way, that was a great pleasure. Boy, they were cracking those Jews over the head. Irishmen were pounding the hell out of those Jews. And later on, when they were down in jail, every Irish cop that could got down there after my autograph, shaking my hand, and say, "Boy, you sure showed those Jews something. What guts," and so forth.
Unfortunately, they can only do it in the United States right now.
That's right. Otherwise, and Jew-controlled, so thoroughly controlled governments in Europe, you'll be thrown in jail.
Yep.
So
on that good point, let me have your story, your last story, Lee.
My last story is titled "Muslims About to Take Over Europe," and this story comes from the Jerusalem Post, and it says, "Islam could soon be the dominant force in Europe, which, in the name of political correctness, has abdicated the battle for cultural and religious control," says Professor Bernard Lewis, the world-renowned Middle Eastern and Islamic scholar. Of course, this Bernard Lewis is right, and he's a Jew. And, of course, that's why they're quoting him in the Jerusalem Post, because, of course, they wouldn't have one of us evil Nazi Gentiles in there. And what he's saying is the obvious, and in the name of political correctness, whites in Europe, to quote him, have abdicated the battle for cultural and religious control. Yeah, and why is that? Because the fucking Jews. Because the kikes. Because their ideology. Because their ideology of Marxism, multiculturalism, internationalism, globalism, diversity, egalitarianism, all these things has been the dominant factor since the end of World War II. It would not be that way if the Germans hadn't lost World War II. it would not be as fucked up as it is over there. And I'll go on and read another part of this article, which says, Lewis, whose numerous books include the recent What Went Wrong, Clash Between Islam and Modernity in the Middle East, blah, blah, blah. But this guy, he would set no timetable for this drastic shift in Europe. Instead of focusing on the process, which he said should be assisted by immigration and democracy. Instead of fighting the threat, he elaborated, Europeans had given up. It says, Europeans are losing their own loyalties and their own self-confidence. They have no respect for their own culture. Europeans had surrendered on every issue with regard to Islam in a mood of self-abasement, political correctness, and multiculturalism. Said Lewis, who was born in London to middle-class Jewish parents but has long lived in the United States. Now, what he's doing here is he is saying the obvious. He's saying what white nationalists have or not our national socialists have been saying for years. And to me, this is an example of a Jewish attorney trick. What they'll do is like if you're in a court case and your defense lawyers know that the other guy is going to bring something up, the prosecution is going to bring something up about you that they can use and say, aha, but he did this or that in the past or whatever, they will bring it up first. That way it eases that in the minds of the jury or the judge, they will think, oh, he was not keeping that a secret. So he wasn't keeping that secret like he didn't want us to know that. So the Jews slowly do these kind of things, just like they might reduce the number of deaths at Auschwitz or whatever, which again, that's still apparently, you know, you drop the number by about 3 million, and still you still have 6 million Jews killed, you know, in the Holocaust. But that's what this guy is doing here. It's all of a sudden he's the expert on Europe and the Middle East and the problem with Islam. And so he is coming out now saying, oh, yeah, we better do something about this problem of Islam in Europe. And it looks like to me like the white Europeans have surrendered. So why have they surrendered? And the answer is very simple. It's because they are afraid to defend their own people. Because if you defend your own people, white Europeans, you are a racist. You are a Nazi. You are a hater by definition. So they are stuck. They cannot defend their own people. So why the fuck is he going on and say, well, they've given up, and they, you know, like they want to. They don't want to because they're afraid to. They know that if they do, that they'll be called anti-Semitic, a hater, and a racist, and a Nazi, and everything else, and they'll be in trouble. So it isn't that they've given up. It's that the Jews in control of the media have made it such an evil thing, allegedly, to defend your own white people that they cannot do anything about it.
And the aim of our educational system is to produce citizens who have been conditioned to believe or to act as if they believe that racial differences are the most unimportant, superficial, and inconsequential thing in the world, that the only real differences are in pigmentation, that blacks and whites and Australian Aborigines and Chinamen have the same way of viewing the world, the same intrinsic values and behavioral patterns, the same capacity for self-discipline, the same type and degree of intelligence, the same problem-solving ability, the same aptitude for building civilizations and maintaining them, and that to believe otherwise is not only wrong, but sinful and shameful. In fact, the gravest possible sin, the most shameful possible error, is racism. And the severest means should be used to exorcise it, and the severest penalties imposed to punish those who adhere to it.
So what do you think about this?
People who are new to this or who have just stumbled across our broadcast they're probably in utter shock listening to us and our talk. But I would just tell them, if you've stumbled across our program, just check out what we say. Go. The internet is a great white genius since the invention of the wheel. And it was, once again, it wasn't Nigel Lobutu in Nigeria who invented the internet. It was a white man from I think he was from England, actually. But I don't think it was Al Gore. but the internet's the greatest invention since the wheel, and you can
since the transistor.
Yeah, you can go on there now and you can pull up all, where in my old days you had to find probably a sticker or a leaflet or something to find an address. Once you found an address, you had to send up to the organization that put out that thing that you saw to get information from them. And then you'd have to go over there, find their, if they did have a bookstore, to buy some books from them, and just that slow process of learning about what's going on. Now you can just hop online and you can find all these great things online. So, you know, there's no excuse for people saying, well, I really, you know, I don't have the time and really, you know, da, da, da. Because I know once there's something happened, which happened to me, and I know it happens with everybody who is on the verge of an awakening. Something happens where you get into that state where you want to read. You want to read these great books that are out there right now. For the most part, all these great books that I used to have to pay for, you can get them online now free. You can read them online for free. What happens to you is like, I call it a firestorm of the will. You have to read, and you just can't believe what's going on, that these Jews are doing this, are sticking it to us the way they are, and it becomes like a reading frenzy. You have to read and get more information, and the more you read, the more you learn, the more you can't believe that you didn't understand what the heck was going on for all those years. I find people who are more politically, who tend to read political stuff before they are, they're the prime ones that we need to go after. People who are political, not politically active, but people who think politically about stuff, you know, are interested in the great issues of the day, politics and what's going on in our countries. They're the prime people, the thinking people. Dr. Pierce called it the great 8% in the United States of people who really want to think about the issues of the day and are concerned about what's going on. Then they get into that firestorm of the will, as they call it. The great internet is a great tool for a further awakening of large numbers of our people. But
well, the truth
is it too late? I don't know.
The truth is available on the internet, unlike anywhere else in the world, because you cannot get it at your local library.
No.
It's like Rockwell said, you cannot find a copy of Mein Kampf in the library. If they are in there at all, Jews will go in there and steal them. So there's things like that, and there's all these facts about the Jews and Jewish involvement in the Bolsheviks, the murders they committed during the Bolshevik Revolution. There's all kind of facts. That's the best thing about the internet, is you can find the truth. Now the worst thing about it, though, is you can also find a bunch of bullshit. That's the worst thing about it, is you've got to be able to separate the bullshit from the truth, and it's very difficult for someone to do if they don't have a particular reliable resource or you know, individuals to help them discern what's true and what's not, because there's all kind of bullshit out there about how Hitler was into the occult and the pagan and all this crap. You know, I mean, just constant. Again, that's the bad thing about the internet. The good thing about it is the truth is out there and it's available like it never was before, because you can download whole books that you can't find in a library. Or you can order books that you never knew were in print, you know, but and videos and DVDs and all this kind of stuff. But and of course, Dr. Pierce's broadcasts are there, which are really a gold mine. And that right there is one thing I recommend that everybody do, is go to the Nat Van website and download all of Dr. Pierce's broadcasts and listen to them. And that is hundreds of hours and educational. I mean, that's an education that you're not going to get anywhere else. And it is instrumental, I think, in deprogramming a lot of people from these brainwash programming, Pavlovian responses that we have, that we've been conditioned to by our fucking Jewish masters.
You're quite correct. It is a deprogramming process for people, especially thinking people. They're the main people at the moment who are trying to awaken here. Think really. Great thinking people to understand what the heck's going on here. And I again go back to that report about 49% of Americans are understanding the power of the lobby over in the United States. To me, I know you don't hold great sway on these reports, but that is, I always look for signals, you know, in Europe when nationalist parties stand for elections, people in the United States go, what's the point? They're not going to get elected. But it gives you a barometer of people's feelings. If you put up a nationalist candidate that believes what we believe in these areas of Europe, and you see what vote they get, that gives you a true understanding of the vote, of the thinking voting public on that on those issues. You got a person there is articulating anti-immigration and the whole nine yards, and at least you get a fully understanding of a percentage of people who voted. At least that's a true, it's a true poll, if you want to say that's a true.
Well,
poll.
It's only as accurate as it is accurate, and which is, it's only as accurate as it is scientific. And again, it might be an indicator, it might not. I don't know. But that's a positive thing to us. And if the media says it, though, are they saying it to be alarmist and saying this is a bad thing? Look at it. You know, because we look at it and say, well, it's positive if people are starting to wake up to the fucking Jew, influence and everything. That's positive. But, what will the outcome of such media publicity bring, and how will things change, and is it really true? No one knows. No one knows until, things like you said, until the fucking pogroms start happening. We start seeing people hanging from light poles and stuff. That will mean something then. But until that day, I just don't know. Now, again, back to this article about Muslims invading Europe. Obviously, Muslims are a problem to Jews because they have the majority of Jews. I mean, the majority of Muslims have been Arabs, who have traditionally been anti-Jewish because of the Jewish behavior, and rightfully so, just like Christians have been anti-Jewish because of Jewish behavior. But the problem in this immigration thing in Europe is not just Muslims. It's all non-whites, right? The fucking Africans that come up there, right? The people from the Caribbean, right, from the West Indies, that come up to Europe, immigrating and be allowed to immigrate into Europe. That's the problem, and it won't stop until we actually take controls of our country back and say, you know what, it is okay to be white, to be an Aryan, and to defend your own people, and to defend your own borders and your country. See, I think the majority of people, they don't understand how simple this really is, and how fucked up our entire government is. And now I'm specifically talking not just about European governments, but about America, right? Basically, any people anywhere are in two stages, in any nation, they are in two stages of their life. Either they are all at war, or they are in a peacetime, right? And if you're at war, then obviously the means that you're using to fight against your enemies is physical force, right? It's military weapons, it's guns, it's rifles, it's physical force. If you're at peace, what is the means of weapons? What are you fighting with? Well, the government who's in charge of the war is also in charge of the people during peace. So what does the government do during peace? The government has laws. You'll hear this all the time. People say, well, the United States is a nation of laws, which is a lie. That's the way it should be in an ideal world, but it's not. What the United States is a nation of men. And what happens is it's not ruled by laws. It's ruled by people that are behind those laws and decide whether or not to enforce the laws or not, right? Now, there's only one kind of power, and that's force, right? So in war, like I said, in war, it's physical force, and it's obvious who's got the force. In peace, it's the same thing because it's law, and laws are supposed to be enforced. And who are they enforced by? By people with guns and tanks and rifles, right? So there's only one power, that is force. Law is only as powerful as the people who are going to enforce it, right? That's why we have what's called law enforcement. Those people use physical force to get you to do what they want, to get you to obey the laws. Now, in our country, we know that this country is ruled just by men because the laws have been on the books for years against these fucking illegal immigration invasion from the Spics. Those laws have been there for years. And mm-hmm. guess what? The government doesn't enforce it. Yeah. And that shows you, again, that we're not a nation of laws. We're a nation of men. And who are the men? Well, it's not as much as the men. It's fucking women, too, because Jewesses are just as much women, too, right? We had these bitches like Madeleine Albright, you know, fucking up Yugoslavia in our government. So it's this whole simple understanding of reality that most Americans, or Americans, as I like to say at VNN and everywhere, which is what we become, or maybe that movie Idiocracy, which is something I want to see. I've heard a lot of good about it. Maybe that kind of makes the points, too, of how we are so stupid. We can't get a simple understanding of reality and react accordingly.
An army that invades a country, the first thing that an army does is take over its means of communication, its media, its television, its newspapers. The first thing an army does, well, that's what happened. Jews have took over the Aryans' means of communication, media, television, newspapers. That's all you need to do to keep a population under the heel. Control those things and you control the people. We've gone a few steps further since then. We have now control of politicians. Once you have that, it's a game, set and match, as we say here in England on the old cricket, on the cricket pitch. It is control of the media, television, movies, politicians. It's all over. That's when you need a groundswell of awakening from basically white working people up to the middle class, upper classes. You can forget them. They're bent for revolution. Revolution comes from the white working people and stimulates the middle class. That's how you get revolution. That's how you get awakening of a people. It's from those great classes.
Yeah,
the builders of our race, basically.
Yeah, what'll happen is the revolution will come from fanaticism, right? Mm-hmm. And the way I look at it is, and this just happened not too long ago. There was a guy who went to a soccer game, and I heard him. We were talking in a pub, and he said that. He just said it out of the blue. He said, I loved it at this soccer game that I just went to and my team won. And because the whole time, all of us fans for our team, who were rooting for our team, felt this great solidarity, right? This comradeship. He didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking when he said it. Mm-hmm. And I knew what he was talking about. That is the way that white people are supposed to feel and supposed to think. About their own race, just like Jews, for one reason or the other, whether they believe all this shit about everybody's out to get them, you know, and everybody's an anti-Semite that's not Jewish, whether they believe that shit or not, they always do what's good for Jews, and they feel a kinship with their own people, and as do niggers on some level, but whites are not allowed to feel like that. And this thing this guy expressed, I know what he's talking about. Everybody's for the same team, and there's this fanaticism that they have. And when they're at the game, there's this whole feeling of, hey, we're all in here together. We're all shooting for the same thing. Our team is the white race, and our skin is our uniform. It's not the uniform that a soccer team wears. But guess what? If we wanted to put on uniforms that represented the white race, or if we wanted to have a symbol like the swastika that represents our people in the white race, then so be it. We can use that. It doesn't matter. When we get to the point of being able to have this revolution and start taking our countries back, it'll be this working class sort of fanaticism, just like they have it for these fucking soccer games and everything else. That's just my logic thinking about how it has to happen. Is it's got to happen that way, where people get fanatic about their own race.
I agree, but you also need, and it seems to be a lacking, particularly in the United States, is an organization to keep that. Not to stimulate it, but to keep it on track. You know what I mean?
Well, we need a leader.
Maybe a leader. I call you a leader, an organization. But United States is barreling towards probably everyone says over there a racial conflagration and utter chaos. You know, white people are fleeing into the center of the continent to try and escape what's going on. Because I've been reading reports in local papers. Thank God for the internet again about California and stuff happening there. Mexicans now are starting to shoot blacks. And blacks are starting to shoot Mexicans because Mexicans are moving in on black work.
Oh yeah, the thing is as I've heard some people say, is there's no choice but us but to go to become like a third world. Mm. We'll start having the third world clashes, just like every other third world country. If they have mixed races in places like they've had in Puerto Rico and Haiti and all this, they're gonna have fucking clashes, you know, because once they go third world. That's it. There aren't any rules. There is no honor. There is no nobility. There is no, you know, I'm a chivalrous knight here, and I do, you know, believe in justice and truth and the right thing and all that. That's out the window, man. That's it. All they're fighting for is blind survival and stupid shit like, you know, this is my turf. Shit like that. You know, you're flashing these gang signs at me, crap like that, and the next thing you know, you've got a shootout in the suburbs in formerly a peaceful white neighborhood. That's just going to happen.
I'm reading intellectuals instead of intellectuals, and these are Aryan white intellectuals stating, you know, about instead of bringing their intelligentsia around, how can we awaken our people and how can we bring racial awareness to our people and how can we rid our nations of the third world filth and bring back culture, civilization to our nations once again and build Europe. Build America. What these intellectuals I'm reading and they're saying, well, they keep pushing on this thing that America in 2050 plus will be just like Brazil. India, Great Britain in 2050 plus will be just like Bangladesh, India, and Pakistan. France will be just like their former colonies that they used to, you know, have. Instead of these intellectuals looking at how can we avert this and change this around, which it can be changed around. Once white people are awake, as happened in Germany in the 1930s and before that, when they truly awoke and voted in democratically, by the way, the National Socialist Party, things change really quickly. These intellectuals are falling into the same trap, the same Jewish trap, saying, well, there's not an awful lot that we can do, really. It's going to happen, and we might as well get used to it, because this is what's going to happen. United States is going to be just like Brazil.
Right. That's what they say. And see, the fact is, we know the answer. The answer is, just like the National Socialists did, is to increase our media. And specifically, mass media and television is the goal, mm-hmm. because you have to get, you have to be able to compete with the Jewish ideology on an equal level with the Jews. We will never get anywhere. It doesn't even matter if we finally discover a great leader, unless we can compete with the Jewish voice. I mean, their voice is the loudest, and they have the ear of all of our people. Until we can get that. There's no way we can win, even if we have the leaders. I think the best way for this stage to go, the best way for us to get to free our white people from this Jewish tyranny is if we can build a mass media to get our own television stations and in particular national television stations, then the leaders will emerge if they have not emerged already by that time. Yeah. Then the people will get fanatical and follow that leader, and they'll get fanatical about their own people. It's got to happen like that because, you know what, it won't happen any other way. You can't have one without the other. You can't have a leader and then not have the mass publicity because that leader will not accomplish anything. So you need that mass media publicity to make it. Otherwise, you will never make it. And again, even if we have the mass publicity and all of us are struggling and trying and giving our views, if we're not the great leader, we don't have the charisma, then they're not going to follow us either. And, you know, we don't maybe necessarily even have it within us. to be capable to be the leader. So even if we had the mass media, we need leaders. So yeah. Then that's got to happen. You know, and then once that happens, the people will naturally, just by nature, just what happened in Germany, they will become fanatical about their race and start actually defending their own people and getting things done.
This is why these embryonic broadcasts on the internet by us are so very, very important. One individual who used to listen to Area Matters on a regular basis and was very supportive of this broadcast now has his own broadcast on every Friday Night Live. So thanks to our little broadcast, we've awakened and stimulated this individual to start doing his own broadcasts. It's called the chicken and egg thing, is it? I don't know. That just came into my mind for some strange reason. But that's what we have to do. We who've been around for a while, doing what we do and knowing what we know, we can stimulate other people, younger people, newer people, to go, I can do that too. I've read just as much as Hawthorne and Gardner has now, and I can do that too. And this gentleman has doing a great program on Friday night.
Yes.
And this is it. This is how important this internet is, and this is why one of the reasons why the Jews want to shut us down from it.
It's
so frightened of it.
If that can continue as a trend, which I think it did start off with actually, there was only the limited thing like Goyfire, you know, and a few others, David Duke and a couple others that were going out by themselves.
But
it's growing, if that trend can continue, that people look and say, those guys can do it, I can do it too, and there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. And you know what? If that can continue, that will mean, first off, we'll reach enough people and we'll finally get enough people where we'll probably have a leader in there somewhere, a good leader in there somewhere. Plus, there'll be so many of us, they don't have the resources to go after all of us anyway,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
So when the big clash happens or when the big clampdown happens on the neo-Nazi racist haters, blah, 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 that the Jews who are in charge of Homeland Security, Chertoff and everybody will say, when they say we got to clamp down on these guys, there'll be too many of us. They won't have enough resources to come after us. There'll be thousands of these evil haters, KKK and everything out there, and they won't be able to handle it.
I agree.
Which would be great.
I just want to, just before we close the program, I just want to make a point about have our comments on David Irving, who just got released from the Austrian gulag. Yeah. Any comments on Mr. Irving being released?
Well, that's great. That was, I had a toast to Mr. Irving that night that I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now the bad news is that Ernst Zunal goes to jail. But, yeah, that's...
Rudolph is next, apparently. He's looking at 5 years, too.
Yeah.
In the old German gulag. But, I mean, it reinforces to everybody who comes across our broadcast, just why are these people being locked up if they're cranks and kooks and loons?
Yeah.
If they were cranks and kooks and loons, the Jews wouldn't be bothered.
Right.
They would castigate them as cranks, and they try to castigate the revisionists as flat earthers. I've read that a few times in Jewish media. Yeah, you know, why don't we just call them the flat earthers? You know.
Now that's not the only thing they could do. They could say it's the Bigfoot believers, right? The Loch Ness Monster believers. The UFO alien abduction believers, they could try to categorize us as that, which they know it's not true. Just like the flat earth thing or the hollow earth or whatever the hell they want to say.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We know that we have the truth on our side. And we tell people, seek the truth for yourself. Go ask those questions about the hollow hoax, about the mythical gas chambers. Go ask those questions and say, show me the evidence. Don't show me a bunch of pictures of people who died from typhus and say, you know, this proves that the Germans killed them or that they had, you know, their bones were, you could see their bones, and this again proved that the Germans killed them and at the same time say this was because of gas chambers. You know, there's a big contradiction there. They say, well, these people died and the Germans killed them because of gas chambers and used gas chambers. But wait a minute. So they starved them? Is that how they, you know, then they put them in the gas chamber? They wait till they were starving and then they shoved them in the gas chamber? Why wouldn't they shove them in the gas chamber when they were, you know, still healthy and not skinny? So, I mean, there's all kind of little questions that should pop into your head of not believing the Jewish lie, but people are afraid to ask, and they believe it. It is a religion. And like you said, this whole thing with Zundel, it just shows who's got the power. It just shows who's in charge. It doesn't show if, like you said, if he was a crank, if he was a loon, they would just let him go because he'd just be like another one of the alien abduction type people. But he's not, and they want to use him as an example.
And that's when you truly know when someone has the truth on their side and you're fighting the invisible enemy, the Jew, who is not so invisible anymore. That's what happens. They will try to shut us up. They will try to lock us up, throw us in prison. That's what happens to modern-day heretics like us National Socialists, like revisionists. We are the modern-day... We are the modern-day truth-tellers. National Socialism didn't die in the bunker in 1945. It's alive, and 21st century, it's starting to thrive again.
Absolutely.
Because it's an ideology of the truth, and it's an ideology for the survival of our people.
Right, and if people are looking for the truth, they're going to end up at the same place when they find it, which ultimately is going to be the thing... The ideology with the greatest number of truths in it is National Socialism.
It is the truth. This is the program. My name is James Hawthorne. My old mucker here is Lee Gardner. If you have any questions, we would love to hear from you. We have an email address, believe it or not. We have an email address going by the name of askaneonazi@yahoo.com. We look forward to your many, many emails. By the way, we get tons of emails from everybody, and we can't reply to everybody, but we do appreciate the emails. We also have a blog. We have a blog. We are now official bloggers at arianmasters.com. It's arianawakening.blogspot.com. We'll put the link up on the main page of Arian Masters any day soon. if you have a story... just send to askingneonazi@yahoo a link and a comment, and we'll put your initial with your comment on the news story. We want people to get involved with this blog. This is a worldwide blog. It's not just a blog for Europe or US. It's for all our white lands, New Zealand, Australia, wherever you're a white person. Send us a link and a small little commentary by yourself, and we'll put your initial. And we'll put it on the blog. We want this blog to grow, and it's another avenue for media for our people. Thanks, Lee, for being on the program again.
Sure.
Next time we'll see you will be in March. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program. And always remember, it's not wrong to be a National Socialist. Take care, everybody.
Well, we're the good guys. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now.